Hi everyone, and welcome back to EXO Podcast. We hope you had a wonderful summer and are ready to hear about ours. I'm Liana, the British one.
I'm Kaylin.
I'm Lucy.
And I'm Liana.
The other one. To start off, we're going to go back to the 36 questions to fall in love. And today, it is, do you ever rehearse what you're going to say on the phone before you make a phone call and why? I don't. I'm sorry. I think you gotta live with spontaneity.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when it's an everyday telephone call, I don't. But if it's something that's important, like I'm calling and it's a bit of an issue, then yeah, I mean, I will like kind of try to figure out what I'm gonna say first so I don't miss anything.
Yeah, like I'm a big FaceTimer. I don't call as much. But in the day-to-day, I do not rehearse. But, like, confrontation time, something going on, I have anxiety, and I need to make sure that it is laid out before I say it, before it's spoken out there, because once it's spoken, it can never come back. So I need to make sure that I feel good and confident with what I'm going to say in those instances. But, like, that's very specific.
Okay, but, like, you can't FaceTime for everything.
I do.
FaceTime Baja's Taqueria.
Yeah!
Okay, yeah, that is a really good point. And in my real life, when I'm being an adult, I do make phone calls. Mm-hmm. I don't prefer it. But honestly, I feel like in those phone calls, sometimes I do rehearse what I have to say. Like, if I'm calling the bank, or if I'm calling, like something serious, I need to schedule a doctor's appointment, I'm like, yes, actually, so I have to rehearse it, you know?
Yeah.
I have to make sure that
I feel like, okay, fine, I take it back. Like, rehearsing and thinking about what you're going to say is different to having it. Like, I'm imagining, like, that notepad that's, flowchart, like, they say this, go here, like...
There are definitely people, I think, who need that, but...
And you're not cowards, I take it back. I'm so sorry if that's you. I'm so sorry.
She's just upset because the queen died.
Yeah.
Guys. She's acting out.
I'm really on edge.
I kind of agree with what you were saying, Lucy. I feel like it depends on the situation. If it's just like, I've started calling people more to try and get over my anxiety about calling people. Because I used to just like never call. But now I like call instead of text sometimes. It was just like, hey, do you want to get lunch or something? Like I'll call the person instead of text them.
You do that now.
Yeah, I do that now. Watch out.
I'm just too impatient to text and wait for a response. So at least with a call,
even
if it's denial, you get it right away.
Exactly. So I've been trying to do it more, and thus I don't think I've been rehearsing as much as I become more comfortable with it. But like, I agree. If I'm calling the doctor's office, it's like, what is the question I want to ask so I don't just like ramble?
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm working on it. I'm reformed.
Yeah.
She's a work in progress.
Yeah.
We all are. It's about preparation, not note-taking. That is my stance.
Yeah. Rehearsing was a little bit of
intense word.
Yeah, I feel like, I have an issue. Let's break down the etymology of the word rehearsing.
Right. And this is an etymology podcast.
Yes.
Core.
Hello and welcome back to EXO, where we talk exclusively about the history of words.
Truly.
That's what you're here for. Stands for otymology.
I'm just kidding.
I think it's etymology.
It is etymology. But it's EXO.
Oh!
It's XO.
I'm so confused.
The E in love stands for etymology.
Jesus.
And also the E in summer, which is what we're talking about.
Oh, let's go. A smooth transition. summer and summer breaks is what we're talking about this time, and kind of talking about friendships over summer, some of the intricacies of the fabled summer romance. Does it exist? Is it a lie? Who knows?
We know.
I don't, honestly. Every time I talk about it to someone different, somebody's like, no, it exists. And I'm like, does it? I really don't believe it does. It doesn't exist as it does in movies.
Oh, no, definitely not. Nothing exists as it does in movies, though.
No, but I have to believe some things do.
I know.
What is the summer romance movie?
My God, that's a... The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Oh, God, no.
The Summer I Turned Pretty.
No, I disagree with that. I think if you're a purist, you have to go Grease. Because it's about summer romance, and then...
Oh, Grease with an I thought you meant Greece, like, the country.
When you said Greece,
like, ancient Greece.
Okay, wait, no, I take it back.
Song
Cut that out.
Does Mamma Mia count as a summer romance movie?
I feel like Mamma Mia, is a really nice example.
Yeah. I think Mamma Mia is a good one. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, you know?
Yeah.
It's just this idea that you can meet this, like, mysterious, elusive person that you've never met in this new place that you're in for the summer, or you're at home, and they just mysteriously appear, and then you just have this beautiful love-at-first-sight moment, and then it's just ends well, or in shambles, or you're sad at the end of the summer. But it's this thing that I feel like we're always looking for, the, like, love-at-first-sight, this is so magical, but confined in a period of time that makes it even more unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like, if you're spending summer in your hometown, what are the odds that this perfect person that you can fall in love with, or it's just going to become your next door neighbor?
Some of us live in the English countryside and the average age is like a solid 70. And where are these handsome men coming out of the woodwork? Because they do not exist. Well, I'm so sorry.
Lucky for you, Hinge lets you change your location.
Is this a Hinge ad?
I am actually such a Hinge fan. I think that Hinge is the best dating app. And I was really addicted to it over the summer. Every morning I would wake up because my Hinge likes renewed, and I would go. And I live on Long Island, but it would connect. It's like, this is why Hinge is good. It's curated. So as you like people, it selects people that are based on, like, the other people you've liked. So,
like, a For You page.
It's like a For You page, but you have a limited number of likes per day.
Well, speaking of dating apps and summer flings.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Has anyone ever had a summer fling? Let's do it.
Let's talk about my Tinder wife.
Oh.
I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. Please don't.
I feel like they would think that's cute.
I hope you think it's funny. But I actually matched with someone on Tinder when I was in New York City for Pride. And then we were chatting, because they actually saw me, like, at Pride, but, like, we didn't talk to each other. They were like, oh, yeah, they saw you. And then we started talking just for, like, 3 days. But I got an email about going to a protest in D.C., and I've done this before, where you take a bus from New York City at, like, 2 a.m., you go to D.C. for the day for the protest, and then the bus takes you back, and it's, like, a free bus sponsored by, like, some nonprofits do it. Cool. And it was, like, right after Roe v. Wade got overturned, and I was like, oh, my God, I really want to go to this protest. And all my friends were busy, so of course, I text the girl from Tinder, and I'm like,
of course? I'm so sorry. Like, I respect you, and that is the most valiant decision I've ever heard of, but when I'm like, who am I going to go on a 2 a.m. bus to a protest to with, I don't think, oh yes, a girl on Tinder that I've never met before.
It's because you're straight.
But it's so true, because if you texted...
I would never do that with
a
man.
Yeah, no, I would never do that.
A scary random man, let's take this 2 a.m. bus.
Absolutely
to
not.
A Roe v. Wade protest. He'd either, like, dox you or something, kill you on the bus.
Yeah, no, like, there's no way I would ever do that with a man.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Well, because she lives in New York City, so I was like, oh, this is really good. We could... like, go from your house. I don't have to take the Long Island Railroad in at midnight.
You were just looking for a place to crash, weren't
I was
you?
Just looking for a place to crash. But it was really nice, because there wasn't, like, before the protest, there wasn't really an expectation of anything. We were just, like, kind of going. I mean, there, like, was. Like, I was like, I'm in love already. Just kidding. we were just talking. We, like, napped on the bus, whatever. But then we got to, like, spend the day together, and then, like, I slept over her house again, and then the rest is history, obviously. Just kidding. The rest isn't history. And then the next weekend, she came over to my hometown and met all of my home friends at a party that Liana was also at.
I was there.
And so was my middle school crush.
American Liana, just for clarification.
American Liana. But then she went away for 2 weeks, and then I went away for 2 weeks, and then things happened, and now we're both back at school. But it's okay, because it was a really positive Tinder experience. Yeah. And maybe summer flings can happen.
I feel like that's a very, like, good... Like, that kind of fits the expectations that people have of like summer flings.
But I also think it's a modernization of the expectation.
Yeah.
Because it's like like we go out there and we find these people. Because like the movie expectation is this like
it just sort of appears.
Yeah. This amazing person like bumps into you in the like Venice Square and
you drop on
you
your
just
shit.
Like yeah and then it's like a proper meet cute. But no, in this modern world we have to go out there and find our own summer romances. Yeah.
You have to go to a place where you're like, this is where there would be good people, aka New York City Pride or a Phoebe Bridgers concert, and then you go on Tinder, and then that is where you meet the love of your life.
So yeah. It takes a little more work than you would think,
yeah.
Based on movies, but
I think
it can happen with somebody that you like didn't previously know.
Yeah, and I think I'm just gonna I have two friends who have had like a summer thing this past summer. One of them did meet someone on Tinder, and it was actually just in their normal hometown, like my hometown, which I was like, damn, dude, you are brave.
And where
for
are you from again?
That. I'm from Rockville, Maryland. Cool. And so very normal, like, and I was honestly shocked that she was going on Tinder because, like, you're going to see people from elementary school, middle school, high school.
That's always an experience. That's the best part.
No, it's so the worst part.
I just want them to see how sexy I got.
My friend, well, anyway, I think that it can be worth it because my friend from high school, she did that and she met this guy and they had a proper summer fling, 2.5 months. Mm. And
wow, like properly dating.
Summer. Well, yeah, like she actually kind of they were like full on dating, and then at 2 month mark they actually like they were hanging out like every single day, going on adventures. She's a really outdoorsy person.
Cute.
She loves climbing. So they went to a lot of like climbing places. And at the 2 month mark, they actually said I love you to each other.
Aww.
But the thing is, a few weeks later when the summer ended and he had to go to college, they had to end it.
Yeah. It's that ending. Mm-hmm. That
bittersweet.
Yeah, the inherent time constraint.
Yeah.
On
that
the summer
makes it
romance.
So different than like other relationships.
It's very interesting to go into something knowing exactly when it's gonna end.
Yeah.
And I feel like for summer flings, I think for sure they can happen because I've seen it. But I think what people always talk about, you know, the meet cute, the sexy, fun, happy, sunny part of the summer fling, which for sure exists, and I think for sure is worth it. But people don't really talk about going into something and yeah, you literally both know that it's going to end, and it's going to end, like, right that, like, date.
Or you're definitely going to have a difficult conversation.
Very difficult conversation. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? I do want to say, like, talk about this other, my other friend. So my other friend, she went to this university research program over the summer, and there were a lot of other university students there from all over the country. And she actually met someone there, and he was, like, a really, like, this was very fun for me, too, because I also met him, so I, like, got to see this guy, and he was, like, a really nice guy, really sweet, and, I think they did call it dating, yeah, they were dating for, like, those 2-3 months that they were there, and then at the end of it, I was, like, okay, so what are you guys? And she said they originally thought their dynamic was going to be they wouldn't do long distance, but they would still be friends long distance, and then when they were together it would be romantic. And I was like, okay, like that seems kind of hard to control your feelings.
The boundaries,
like that.
Yeah, the boundaries of feelings. Yeah,
but then after the research program ended, they spent like 2 weeks together. Like she went to his state, like she went home with him, and then he, I think, dropped her off at college. And then I think now they're dating. They're in a long distance.
Your friends had good luck.
Yeah, I was going to say, who are these people?
Yeah.
And can they give me their love advice?
Secrets.
Secrets.
I do think it's a lot of... I think it's kind of with any social interaction. I do think it's a lot of luck, but I do think a lot of that luck you create yourself by, you know, it's really lucky that my friend, my climbing friend, she met that person, but she also, like, was very proactive on those dating apps and, really made efforts to meet this guy. And then, I guess with my other friend, I mean, she got into that research program.
Yeah, was proactive. There is some level of effort.
I think that that's like the overarching theme of all of these things is that we watch these movies and we're like, it just happens to you. You just lay there on the ground and some man comes up to you and is like, hey, I'm the love of your life. You mail ordered me. And like the reality is that it requires much more proactivity than that. Like, especially as someone who grew up in a straight woman who grew up in an only girls environment, I had mainly like romance movies and TV shows to, you know, kind of inform me of a lot of those things. And like getting to college is realizing that like beautiful men don't just come up to you and like lay down at your feet. That's not how it works.
Not yet.
Well, not yet. Yeah, guys, I'm waiting.
Right.
Yeah, I can give you my home address.
They're going to dox you, bro.
Oh, yeah. Just kidding.
No, it's okay. They're probably not going to go to the English countryside to do it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of effort to dox someone.
Oh my god, that would be such a good meet cute.
Like somebody all the way to England,
comes all the way to England, shows up at my home. Yeah,
they just like the English accent.
And I'm like, sorry, not my type.
But that would be so much effort.
That's the nice thing about Tinder is that you get to gauge if people might possibly like be your type. Also, like people are always different than they are like on a dating app, but that is a nice part of it.
How do you do the, like, obviously there is a physical attraction aspect,
yeah,
but like I don't find that those bias, we're really slipping into just talking about dating apps, but I'm fine with that. Like there's a physical aspect, but I don't find the bios really help me to understand anything about
a lot of people do not utilize the bios.
But then how do you tell anything about the person?
Like what they put, like their music. I really care about the music. That is something that I really care about because I really love music. But the thing that really, because I've had like a few good like Tinder interactions. A lot of the time it's like with people like I know kind of in real life, if it's at school, and then we'll match and I'll be like, okay, we're into each other and whatever. But it's really like the texting chemistry.
I agree.
Like if you can maintain a conversation, that is what it is. That's why I asked that person from Tinder to go on to the protest with me, because we were just texting. We could maintain a conversation. We had things to talk about. And if you find that with someone, then that's when you know you have a good Tinder match.
But not to call myself out, but I am the shittest texter
then
on the free planet.
That's
so
why,
like,
Tinder might be bad for you.
Right. All dating apps are bad for me. They are bad for
me. There are some things.
It's true. Yeah. I've not actually ever tried.
No, I feel like it is. Yeah, there are some people who it works for.
Yeah.
But some people
don't. I'm not a texter, even in life. This goes back to our opening segment, but like, I call. I'm so much better on the phone. Like, I love to have a conversation with a person. Right. Freaking write to me and you'll get a one red response.
Just add them on Snapchat and snap call them.
Oh, that feels like I can do pictures of my face. That's as much as you get.
Yes. Was it then hard for you to keep in touch with people over the summer? People from school, if you're, I think it's just hard generally, but with not being such a texter.
Yeah, I think it was a little difficult. I think I like calling, so I think that was, especially living in England, there's a bit of a time difference, so that was always tough to do. I mean, like, I think there's a certain point where you have to accept that, like, texting is the main mode. And, like, you know, there are, like, you can do funny texts and send each other pictures and stuff like that, which is nice. But I think the main issue I had with friends was just, like, very different expectations going into the summer about how much we were going to be in contact. Because, you know, I'm a sophomore, so we had this, like, whirlwind first year where we saw each other every day for multiple hours, basically. Because, you know, these people kind of become your bedrock. Uh-huh. You meet these people, and then, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, okay, these are the people I need to exist, you know? Just because those friendships form. I mean, obviously, it takes different amounts of time for everyone, but I think as a pretty extreme extrovert myself, like, you know, those friendships formed pretty quickly and then became my support system. And then we just kind of all like fucked off home.
Yeah.
To different continents.
Like, now what?
Yeah.
I feel like the winter break might have been a little bit of like a practice for how that summer break was going to go. So were you able to kind of feel out a bit of a dynamic for like how much you're going to contact your friends over the winter break before the summer break?
I think we weren't really good at that because, at least for me, my first semester was pretty rough. And so winter break, I just was like, okay, I'm going home. Like,
bye.
out of office. Like, do not attempt to contact. Like, I think we talked like once over winter break, because I was just like, oh my god, I'm home. I just need to spend every second being home and with my family, especially because we break up so late. So I was like, it's Christmas, it's, you know, Boxing Day, it's all of those kinds of things. But yeah, so we weren't very well, like, in contact over Christmas, but I think that worked for me then. Whereas this summer, when we weren't really in contact, it worked for me most of the time. But as I mentioned, I live in the British countryside and there's not so much to do. So at times when I was like, oh, I'll talk to friends, and like, people were obviously busy with work and stuff like that. There were just very different expectations as to like how much people were around, I think.
I think this is a really good segue into our next section, just talking about friendships in general. It reminds me of what you were saying before, just like about how flings aren't really that easy, and in movies it's made to seem that easy. I just think nothing is really that easy. Like, relationships in general just require effort. I think that's something you learn as you grow older. It requires effort. And I think that the summer was a very important one for a lot of people in our years, and just for a lot of people in general. In our year specifically, the sophomores, we were in school for 4 semesters in a row. So it was just coming home for the first time in a while, just being at home for a long time.
Yeah.
And then for the freshmen, being at home for a long time. For anyone who's in college, just being at home for a long time, it brings forward this new dimension to your friendships, to you, where, like, now you're navigating the terrain of adult friendships. Yeah. Like, they're not just, like, these, like, immature, little, magical child friendships. Like, now you need to communicate. Mm-hmm. You need to know what the effort is going when you're not going to talk to each other for a long time. Like, is that okay?
Yeah.
You need to, like, and especially after, like, the past year or two, like, so many people have matured. Now you're going back to home friends. How do you, like, fit in with them? Like, what does that feel like now?
I think also, like, adult friendships is learning that you don't have to see each other every day, and you still love each other and mean a lot to each other. I think, you know, I'm always shocked by my mother, who went to school in the US, went to university in the US, and has 2 best friends who she met at Penn, and, like, talked to them maybe once a month. And they're still people who she is so close to.
Yeah.
Like, anything major happens in her life and she needs support, those are the people who she turns to. But, like, learning that adult friendships is like, oh, okay, we have our lives and they are actually separate. Because I think so much of childhood friendships are, like, you see each other every day.
Yeah.
And it feels like, it's definitely something I've felt in my life, which is, like, you can't be best friends if they don't know about every aspect of your life.
Yeah, that's what I also thought growing up. Yeah. And even in college, like, I feel like we see each other a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's a balance now, because I find myself sometimes being like, oh, I should withhold things so that I have my own life that is separate from friends. But I don't think that's right either. I think it's about, like, you know, you share when you feel like you want to share, but you don't share when you don't feel like it. I don't know. Yeah. That feels oversimplified, but,
like, I was just going to say, like, it's also a thing where there's different friends that you talk to about different things, because there's some things that happened this summer where it was some of my close friends, I would, like, give them all these updates, talk to them every week. I would be FaceTiming them, and, you know, they had stuff to tell me too, so it would be that kind of back and forth. But, you know, some of my other friends, I called them maybe once this entire summer, but, like, they're still my closest friends. So I think another aspect of that we didn't talk about, like, okay, let's call once this entire summer.
Yeah.
It just ended up being that way. And I think in that case, I think a lot of my friendships mature with that kind of trust, because it's like we both have enough confidence in this friendship that we don't have to call every day to prove that we're friends to each other. We can just go, like, an entire season without, you know, calling just once.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to say something about trust, because that was something that, like, I think I had a little mini freak out partway through the summer, where I was like, oh my god, like, these people felt like the bedrock of my, you know, university experience, and, like, I've lost that. What's it going to be like second year if I'm reeling without these friendships? And my mom, like, said to me, like, you actually just have to trust these relationships, because, like, I know you're not talking now, but it doesn't mean that you don't love each other and you're not like, you know, really close. It's about trusting the relationships and knowing that constant contact doesn't actually mean closeness necessarily. That trust is what means closeness.
Yeah, it's really interesting because when you move from like home to school or school to home and like you're doing that transition, like the whole cast of people in your life is just like changing. And it would be ridiculous to try and like maintain the school cast when you're like at home surrounded by like a whole new assortment of people. Yeah. I think that social media makes it better. Like, obviously social media has its terrible, evil pitfalls, but like for me, for example, like I have a private story that I post on, so like my friends would keep in touch through that. Like I'd keep my life updates on there, they'd keep theirs sometimes on theirs, maybe less than mine because I'm a chronic poster, like disgusting, but then they'd swipe up, they'd know what was new in my life, or like, you know, I'd see what they were doing, and yeah, that was a really nice side of it. But there is no but. I don't know where I was going with that.
Well, I think social media as like subliminal contact, where it's like not direct, because I was talking to my parents about this, and I think it was my dad who was like, yeah, like my best friend in college, we used to call each other once in the summer and be like, when are you getting back to campus? I'm getting back now. Okay, see you for moving. How's your summer been? Played lots of golf, you know, macho stuff. But I think like now you can call, text, FaceTime, but also you can like put stuff out there on the world that you know your friends are going to see, but you don't have to tell them directly. And, you know, it's kind of amazing that, you know, there are things that you aren't telling directly to one person, but they are finding out about you.
Yeah. I think it's also just interesting bringing up the different mediums, because we talked about, well, we primarily talked about FaceTime and then text versus calling, and then now we're talking about, like, private stories. Something, a way that I communicate with a lot of my friends was just sending them, like, pictures of what was going on in my in my day.
I love pictures.
Yes, I love, so for me, like, when I, you know, care about someone, when I'm friends with someone, when I'm close to someone, when I love someone, I, like, get reminded of them all the time. Just going through my daily life, I see things and I'm like, oh, this reminds me of this friend, this reminds me of this friend, and I like to collect that thing, like take a picture of it and then send it to them. That's like one of the biggest ways that I show like care and affection. So just that, I think, was a big thing. Like, hey, I saw, so my roommate, so we only called like, we called like maybe like 3 times, and it was for like 10 minutes maybe. But she is, you know, one of my closest friends. And then throughout the summer, you know, we weren't necessarily giving life updates, but we're both really into F1, Formula One. So there were a lot of races this summer. So whenever I see like a picture of like a really hot driver, I'd send it to her and be like,
love
Lillian, I'm always thinking of you.
And it's so nice to be on the receiving end. My roommate from last year, who I'm also quite close with, this was early on in our relationship. I think it was over actually winter break. And it was like, it's still one of the most incredible, like, we hadn't been talking that much, but this is one of the most amazing, like, texts I've ever received. And it was like this book she was reading. And she was like, this passage reminded me of you. And firstly, it was like the most beautiful passage I've ever read. And like, I just remember weeping.
Yeah.
Because just like knowing that you hadn't been in contact with this person, but they're coming across like media and things in their life that like remind them of you, and that they love and care enough to like take a picture and send it to you. Like, that was just so lovely to me, you know?
That really like, I feel like that reaffirms like the trust that you can have in that relationship, or like the confidence you can have, like,
yeah,
oh, this person was thinking about some like really beautiful thing and they are thinking about me in their life.
Yeah,
I love little moments like that. I feel like I had a lot of moments like that over the summer where there would be like little flurries of like communication and like catching up with people. And I think that was pretty good at keeping me going and keeping me connected with people.
I think that those, like, thinking of you texts or, like, sending someone something that reminds you of them is, like, the basis of, like, an adult friendship. Yeah. Like, not really. Like, obviously there's more things to it. But I think that, like, not being able to talk to someone for whatever amount of time it is, whether, like, you're someone who can go, like, 6 months without talking to someone, or just, like, a few weeks, whatever. Just, like, being able to be like, it's okay, we haven't spoken. This thing really reminded me of you. Like, love.
Yeah, I and still then, like, love
that's
you.
It. Like,
yeah.
that, I think that that is, like, a really wonderful thing. It's so amazing to be on the receiving end of it. And I also just love being, like, the one to, like, give that. Like, I love seeing, it's like those TikTok, like, poems that are like, I am compiled of every person I've ever met. I'm a mosaic of every person I've ever met. But it is true. Yeah. You see something and you're like, oh my God, that's like,
it reminds you of someone. No, I get that.
It reminds you of someone.
And that, like, medium of that love language is kind of communicates one of my favorite, or one of my, like, major philosophies of love, which is that when you love someone, when you love a person, you learn to love more of the world through that person. So for example, with Lillian, like, I got really into F1 at the same time as her, and then, like, whenever we kind of, like, fed off each other's energy in that way. So whenever I see Formula One, I love Formula One, but whenever I see something that's related to Formula One, I think of Lillian. And I think of other friends who I have that are into Formula One, or, like, when you watch a show with someone, whenever you see content, memes from that show, I love the show, but I also think of this person that I experienced that with.
Such a beautiful way of thinking about it is, like, you know, you're learning to love the world more, and, like, the world is teaching you to love your friends more as well, and reminding you of that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh. I think just being reminded of people. Because whenever I'm reminded of someone, I talk about it, and it's nice to, like, bring up their name and, like, put more of them out there in the world. Bringing people up and sending them things that remind me of them, that's, like, one of the main ways that I show, like, care and affection.
It's also, like, learning to not take things personally. It's, like, learning that, like, I'm entering my adulthood. I'm, like, doing my own things with my life. I'm, like, doing things, and sometimes it's really hard to maintain contact, but, like, there's still love. Like, I've been someone who has in the past taken it personally, been like, oh, why aren't they texting me? This is so sad. But, like, when you chisel that all down, it's because you miss them, obviously, but, like, It's the really solidifying within yourself that, like, you're an adult doing your own thing and your friend is an adult doing their own thing, but you could still, like, you still have them within you, looking at things, like, through their eyes, looking at the things they love, the things you share. Like, that, I feel like that is where it comes from. Like, that is, like, the new level of, like, what an adult friendship is. It's, like, being able to do that and not taking it personally when there is that, like, long time and distance between you.
But also for me, I think it was a lot of realizing that, like, a lot of my fears and worries about it were just my own insecurities. Like, you know, your own previous crappy friendships where you weren't getting what you needed or you weren't giving what was needed. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I went to a lovely all-girls school in England, but all-girls schools can get a little bit complicated and cliquey. So I had, like, a couple friendships growing up where I was like, oh, God, like... You know, and they were a little nasty because, you know, 13-year-old girls can be a little bit nasty. Are. And, you know, like, I had friendships where they were like, yeah, you're not invited to this and stuff like that. Like, you know, proper mean girl stuff. And I think some of that sticks with you even if you are 13. And
definitely.
Realizing that, like, I have adult friendships and my friends love me and we're not 13 anymore and they're not going to pretend I don't exist when we get back to school. Like, you know, like, that you project your own insecurities onto friendships that are actually really healthy.
Yeah.
And I think summer is an interesting time because I personally got, like, miles and miles of literal space across an ocean to just kind of exist in my own head and be like, I haven't heard from them for 2 weeks. And I would just be spiraling on my own. And then I'd get a text that was like, thought of you, miss you, love you, and I'd be like, they do still know I exist, you know, like, interesting, add this to the cork board, like, just drawing lines, you know. Aww. And I think you just have to realize that you're doing, like, 18 extra steps in your head and it's all you.
Yeah. Wait, that is a really good transition into one final thing that I would really like to talk about. So you were talking about, like, your friendships growing up. Mm-hmm. I think it was also really weird coming home for the first time after, like, a full year or two of growing into, like, this new person, like, with new aspects of yourself, and then coming home to those friendships that you've known for forever. Like, what was that like for you guys?
God, it was a doozy. I think also it's about how much you stayed in contact over your time at college. I had a group that I stayed very much in contact with, but also a larger group that I think... I just feel like, especially at this time in my life personally, I change so much year on year, you know? And I think part of the work that I do is not looking back and being like, oh God, who was she? Obviously... as someone who's only ever lived in England and then moved across an ocean, and a lot of circumstances in my life changed, and I had a little mini breakdown when I got here. I changed a lot over a year, and then I got back home, and I definitely feel like some of my friends were like, oh, who is she? Not in a bad way, but, you know,
I was everyone different. Changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you fit back into this place that you're like not? You're like a different person now.
Yeah. And I think childhood tends to... There's a tendency we have as children to caricature ourselves. Because if you're a caricature, you can easily slot into a social dynamic.
Mm.
You know, you create your niche, and it's a well-established niche. Mm. And... It's maybe a little bit of a reduction of yourself.
Yeah.
But you fit into that whole well, and then you go and you grow for like a year, and then you try and find and see if that hole is the same,
but also everybody else is growing around you. Yeah, how do you navigate that dynamic that's like the same people, but it's not the same dynamic because all of you have changed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, though, that, it, like, I feel like this just goes back to what we said, the, like, staying in contact with them.
Yeah.
I think that some of my, like, I, for some friendships, the not staying in contact, and then we both changed, and then, like, when I saw them, like, it was fine, but I was like, this friendship feels very two-dimensional. It doesn't really feel, like, the same depth as a lot of my college friendships, but for other people, we barely talked, and, like, when I got back... some of them feel like my college friendships, where it's like you are a good transition from like a friendship that was once a childhood friendship to like an adult friendship, where I feel like I know you on multiple fronts and like you love me unconditionally. And then others, it's like we've grown apart, but like that's okay, you don't need to be my people anymore because we're different people.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting. It's kind of a test of friendships, and not a flawless test, not a perfect test, because those don't exist. But I think, you know, seeing the people you can grow alongside of that's what love is. That's, you know, what relationships are as well, is trying to find someone who you feel like you can grow alongside. And, you know, I would be worried if I got home from college after a year and like hadn't changed at all. And I think you meet a couple people who haven't changed, and you're a little bit like, oh, what happened there? Like, how has nothing shifted for you? So thank you everybody so much for listening. We want to plug two things quickly before we go. Firstly, we have a Dear EXO platform, which is
it's going to be in the description of the podcast, and for our next episode, we are collecting stories about housing experiences.
Yes. Your most shocking, interesting, intriguing.
Tragic and terrible and gory.
And beautiful.
Yeah, and good.
And lovely housing stories. And we'll discuss some of them and just talk about the wonder that is college housing and being told that you're an adult, but also you have to share a 20 square foot room with another
with like three other people.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we also want to plug EXO magazine and podcast.
You can check out everything else that EXO does at exomagazine.org.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
XOXO.